You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to Sunday night here on Living and Thriving with Rusty. I am Rusty, and I went to turn my cell phone off the speaker button, and somehow I disconnected myself from you, so there was a little bit of a delay in between then and now. I apologize. But welcome, and it's so good to be here tonight. It is a beautiful Sunday here in southern New Hampshire. Chloe and I are preparing for a long trip, driving down to our house in Florida. We're going to start setting that up. We're very, very excited, so we've been packing. And let's see, what else has been going on? Always looking for sponsors, so feel free, please ping us. Karen is busy, 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 busy. We have the entire year booked twice a week. I would like to be able to do 5 days a week, but I can't do that without sponsorship. So please go to rustymacdonald.com and check out the sponsorship levels. That keeps Karen employed. And that keeps the show going. And since we're at over 200,000 people, you guys must love it. You like the show, and I'm grateful. And the guest lineup is incredible. Tonight, I have to say that I'm impressed. I'm not sure how we found Dr. Martinez, but she is the inner power doctor. And I can tell you, with Mercury and retrograde and all of the individuals that I've been dealing with, it's just like this crazy, strange energy going on. I'm thrilled to learn what she has to talk about in regards to motivation and spirit and power and healing and growth and moving forward. I also want to remind everybody that LaBelle Bridals has moved to Pelham, New Hampshire. So go out and see Benny. He likes Coca-Cola. I keep trying to get him off of the nasty stuff, but that's what he lives on. So drop off Coca-Cola to LaBelle Bridal at 70 Bridge Street, Pelham, New Hampshire. He's just opened up this week, and the store is beautiful. So definitely feel free to pop in and say hello. Hello, Dr. Martinez. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you. Hello?
What's going on technologically today?
Okay. All right, now I hear you.
Can you hear me at all, Dr. Martinez?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Dr. Martinez, if you can hear me, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you do while I try to figure out my technological issues on my end?
Sure. Well, my name is Antonia Martinez, and I am a manifestation and inner life coach, and I work with individuals, I work with couples, I work with groups to help them create the reality that they really want to experience, whether it's in their work life or their relationships, and just anything that they're interested in. And my particular specialty, though, is helping people to activate chronically stuck energy, dormant power, and new awareness that kind of helps them to open that door and open that energy to things that may have seemed to be off limits to them before. And I also work with businesses and organizations. Usually in that capacity, I'm helping people with holistic project management, doing program development, so let's say meditation programs or self-esteem programs, things along those lines. And I also help a lot with mindful team building because in a lot of organizations, you know, sometimes it's just hard when you have different people, different mindsets, different ideologies coming together. Sometimes it's a little difficult to get projects off the ground or get them running smoothly. So I help in those areas as well. And I guess I'll go into a little bit about how I got into doing this type of work because I also do shamanic healing and other more deeply spiritual things. And I was always interested in spirituality as a child, and I was always involved in various activities. Although I didn't know that that's what I was doing, I would have a lot of prophetic dreams. People used to come to me for advice. Even though I was a kid, I was very intuitive. But it wasn't until I got much older, like in my college years, that I started to recognize that these things, that there was a career, you know, doing these things. I was doing them more out of my own personal interests, and I thought it was fun. But when I started to meet spiritual teachers along the way, that really helped me develop myself. And I guess that's really the key to working in this type of field. You have to work on yourself first before you can work on other people. And I had... Oh, you're back.
I am.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you. Yes, telepathically, you knew I was back. Exactly right. You have to work on yourself. Hi, I'm here, the host. Hello. Technical difficulties. It's that Mercury thing that I mentioned before. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So, where was I?
You were talking about helping yourself as you were learning and meeting spiritual leaders.
So a funny thing happened when I was maybe 19, 20. I ended up working on a psychic line, and it was the very first psychic line in the States. It might have been the first one in the world. And it was here in New York City, and the woman who ran the psychic line was an amazing spiritual teacher. And mm-hmm. after a few months of working on the line, she started having these spiritual development groups every week. So there would be a group of us who would go, and we learned meditation, working with spirit guides, healing. She was actually an astrologer, too. And we learned a little bit of that. But it was such a powerful foundation because the program was really about your own enlightenment, observing yourself, healing yourself, and expanding yourself, and those kinds of things. And as we progressed, we would learn more and more, working with dreams, hypnotherapy, and that's where I really got my foundation, I feel, going to those classes every week for several years.
What is, and I might have missed this, so I apologize, what is the moment in your life where you really had that cosmic 2x4 and you shifted gears and you started paying attention to what it is that you're doing? I think we all have hobbies, and I think we all have this wonderful side thing that we do, and for me personally, I didn't realize I was doing it until many, many years later, the coaching part. But usually there's this cosmic shift where you go, oh, my God.
Well, I think for me, just like what you were saying, I feel like I've been doing it even before I knew I was doing it. But
right?
I think what really turned on for me was actually when I got an email. And it was almost a spam email, not totally spam, but someone was working on her doctorate in, I don't know if it was metaphysics per se, but a related field. And she was working on her paper. And so I got this email, and she was asking people to respond to what she was doing. And I was like, wait a minute, she's working on a paper on what? And so then I wanted to explore what she was doing, and that just opened up a whole new field for me. It's like, oh, you know, you can really take this stuff. You can do more than just read tarot cards. You can really take these other things that you've been learning, and you can help other people develop the same skills, the same insights, and really start to work on themselves, because for me, there was such a liberation in being able to do it. So often you can get caught up in your own life and your own thinking and your own emotions and your own this and your own that. And when you apply that spirituality that you're learning, it can make such a big difference. So it was, a combination of all of that. But seeing someone else taking it to another level, I think, is what really just opened up the door for me.
So let's backtrack a little bit and kind of dig into your underwear drawer and get a little personal. What kind of kid were you? Like, were you just this really cool, visionary child? Because some of us were visionary and we don't know it. Or were you kind of, like a bookworm, introvert? What kind of kid were you?
Yeah, I was I was a latchkey kid. And so a latchkey kid is a kid who's usually by themselves most of the time, because I was raised with just me and my mom. And she worked two jobs, plus she was going to school. So I was home by myself a lot, and there weren't very many children in the neighborhood that we were in. So mm-hmm. I was constantly, I would read a lot. I used to write a lot, draw a lot. And I had a ton of toys and activity books. So, yeah, a lot of my time was spent, I guess, really on my own inner life, just entertaining myself, basically.
Right.
And, but what I learned much later when I was older, I found out that especially my father's side of the family, there were a lot of healers, spiritual people. They used to say, so-and-so can read people. That's what they used to call it. I wasn't aware of that until I was much older, but I did have that too. I used to have a lot of prophetic dreams, and I used to have a lot of mystical experiences. So, for example, I think one of the reasons I'm drawn to shamanism is because I do have a certain gift for seeing into the spirit world. And the first time that happened to me when I was very young, maybe 8 or 9 or something like that. I could see into other worlds. I could see the future sometimes. I could see into people's pasts sometimes. And I remember one day my mother came home from a concert, and she gave me this deck of cards, and they were just regular playing cards. And I don't know where the thought came from, because I had not been exposed to anything like that previously, but something
right.
told me that if I asked God a question, I would get an answer if I turned the card over. And so that was like my precursor to getting into tarot much later. But, so that was kind of my life. And my father is very spiritual, although he's a little more on the religious side, but he
mm-hmm.
has that very quiet, wisdom type thing going for him.
So your mom sounded like she was supportive, even though she was in her own personal adversity at the time. I am a full-time single parent, and I have little to no support. So for me, running two businesses and trying to, get the blogs off and up and running and still balance a mom relationship with my really cool 8-year-old daughter can be very challenging. And your mom worked two jobs and went to school and still tried to raise you by herself? What was her support system like surrounding that?
It was difficult. I mean, we had family, but, so she was working the two jobs, and one of the jobs was she worked at a hospice. And so she would have to stay over for a weekend every other week for one of those jobs. And she was pursuing a degree in social work. So even though my father didn't live there, he was nearby. So he would come and, you know, get me on the weekends, and sometimes I'd stay with his mother, but again, mostly on the weekends and on holidays. And most of my mother's family lived in New York. So I would go up to New York, like, let's say for the summer or for Christmas vacation. So there was some support there, but not like daily support. So she didn't have daily support taking care of me.
Right.
And what you were saying about, you know, sometimes it's hard to have that communication. I mean, that was the situation with us, too, because, you know, now that you've got me thinking about it, I mean, she's not there physically
right.
most of the time. So there wasn't, and when she was home, if you're working two jobs and you're going to school, you're tired because you also have to stay up late and do your homework for school.
Yep.
So there really wasn't a lot of interaction or communication between the two of us. Whereas I think I got that more from other relatives, you know, and my dad. He's a little, even though I didn't see him as often, he's more of a people person than I consider my mom to be. But I think I picked up a lot of that too, because people would tell me that. I was like, oh, you know, you like your mom. You like your mom, they would say, when I would be in social situations. So,
so I'm wondering if, do you feel that your mom might have had the same skill set that you do?
No.
But she just never really verbalized that?
No, I don't think so. My mom, I think, is more, she's definitely more of an intellectual type. The only thing she did mention is she might have some creativity that she didn't really express. I think maybe she may have wanted to do more writing, but she was definitely more of an intellectual person, and I definitely feel I got my logic side from her, because a lot of those games I would have, she bought, I think at the time, I think she was studying maybe child development when I was really young. And so I had a lot of games and things that really develop your mind and your thinking and your you know, your ability to analyze. And she's more like that. And I really treasure that part of myself, because a lot of times,
right.
I don't know about offending
it's
anybody.
Kind of grounding,
but,
right?
Yeah,
kind of
you know, a lot of times when you're spiritual, you know, people think you're kind of woo-woo and stuff like that. And I think because of, you know, my mom's kind of, you know, leaning towards that, or, you know, having that part of her nature and infusing me with that through these games and whatnot, I think it did really help me get a really good balance between the practical and this spiritual thing that I think I really got more from my father and his side of the family.
And that's beautifully put, because I do believe that you need both in your life, whether it's a religious spirituality or being spiritual, as we would call it. I do still think that you need that grounding, kind of stay on track and stay real,
definitely.
You know, and because you can definitely, and I don't know how in-depth you want to talk about some of these things, but having visions and so forth, that can really, you have to be able to pull yourself back and ground yourself, because if you stay in the vision land, I've met people who were not able to cross back over enough to ground themselves, so they stayed in kind of the other side and made them a little crazy.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say without...
Yeah, I do. I do.
I'm trying to be sensitive. So what other kinds of skills did you pick up along the way in regards to kind of grounding yourself and yet acknowledging and accepting and supporting and embracing this quantum leap, really. Science is there, so this is not frou-frou-y anymore. We can prove that we do this, and we actually have computers that we've manufactured scientifically to discern reality versus these sub-realities. So it's, I don't even consider it frou-frou anymore. It's really a new, to me, a new exciting endeavor to discover. But because of the social implications, I think we've constantly skirted around the reality of this particular ability that everybody has. Some can tune in quicker than others. Some are more open to that. So what kinds of other abilities or capabilities, what's the word I'm looking for, coping skills, did you develop along the way?
Well, I think one of the more significant ones was probably the approach that my teachers had to meditation. So that first teacher I told you about was Celeste Harper, but she's passed on since then. And I've been studying in a mystery school after that. And the idea behind the meditation, and I even use this when I'm teaching meditation because I think it's so important, is the idea of really looking at how you can apply your meditative awareness to your everyday situation and recognizing that as a spiritual being, you are always responsible for how you handle your energy. And
right.
Sometimes it's challenging to do it, but and sometimes you don't feel like doing it. You might want to wallow every now and then in what's happening. But that I think those two things were just so critical to staying grounded and realizing that whatever is happening, it's only energy. What's happening is energy. And not being attached to the particular form the energy is taking at the moment. Because as soon as you do that, you lose sight of yourself. You really start to lose your consciousness in a way, you know, speaking spiritually. And it reminded me of a dream that I had. One of the skills that I had naturally and I wanted to develop a lot further with the dreaming is I would have what's called lucid dreaming, lucid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And a lucid dream is a dream when you are aware that you are dreaming. And if you really work with that aspect of yourself, your dream body, some people would call it, you can really do a lot. So in one of these lucid dreams that I had, I said, oh, I wonder what it's like to meditate inside of a dream. So I did that. And something happened. I think I was floating or something. And something happened in the dream. I don't know, maybe there was a noise or something. And I got annoyed in the dream. And the moment I got annoyed, I fell right back to sleep into the dream, so I didn't realize I was dreaming anymore. And when I woke up from that, it made me really see, you know, because obviously in the dream, things are much more immediate than in the physical world. But
right.
it really brought my attention to how easily you can fall asleep in your life when you are not centered and in control of your thoughts and how you're moving about in your life. So
I can tell you from my personal experience, and I know there are things that I need to do differently in my personal life, but one of the things that I find my listeners appreciate is that I'm really authentic and raw, and I'll tell you exactly how it is. My life is chaos. And I'm learning and trying to figure out and one of the beautiful things about having this radio show is I get to learn from really, really cool people who are, you know, 5 or 12 steps ahead of me or 1,000 steps ahead of me. But it's very easy as a full-time single mom promoting herself, you know, writing books, writing blogs, doing vlogs, paying bills, juggling all of this stuff, to lose yourself in that. What kinds of steps do you recommend for people like me who are just, you know, we it takes us a couple of days, but we'll pull back and go, oh, my God, I have to make this a habit. I have to do this a daily routine. But unfortunately, you know, the power company and the food and the school and all of these other distractions come into play, and you lose yourself in that. So what kinds of things do you recommend to pull us back into that inner power?
Well, I have a technique that I like to do called stopping the world, because just how you were explaining the chaos and whatnot. It really does create like this whirlwind of energy around you that sucks you in, sucks your attention in. So this technique, stopping the world, it's like a pre-meditation, because, you know, a lot of time, well, first of all, meditation does take time for you to master and to be able to really get something out of it. So what I would do is you have your moment, and for me, the moment I had picked would be the first hour when I got home, because usually what I used to do, I would come home, and the first thing I would do is turn on that television and like, finally I'm home, and relax and sit on the couch and all of this. So what I did was, first hour I get home, I sit and do nothing. I don't watch TV. I don't think about the day. I don't write stuff down. I'm not making meals. I sit and do nothing. And I know how hard that is for people to
do. If I tried to do that for a half an hour, I swear to God, I would, the whole guilt, shame feeling of, you know, I'm looking at the laundry monster and I'm looking at the boxes that were packed and the dust that's collecting, and I have a spider now that just came out last night. It's like, I literally would have an anxiety attack just sitting there. I have
understand.
No problem meditating it every morning, but so.
I'm an Aries. I'm an Aries. I feel like the world is not right unless I am running around trying to make something happen.
Yeah. Lauren, we are the champions.
But the truth is, you train your energy to move in a certain way, and then the life around you reacts to that movement. So this is a classic situation. Somebody will come to me, I want to change, blah, blah, blah. I want to do so-and-so. Okay, let's do so-and-so. And then when the moment comes to do so-and-so, some crisis bubbles up. Oh, my goodness, this happened every single time. Not a coincidence. That's your energy. So even though it's hard to get through that, I feel so guilty and I feel this and I should be and blah, 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 it will make such a difference in your energy, because all of that energy that you don't even realize is going into these things. So imagine that for every thought you know you're thinking about, there are 10,000 you're not aware that you're still thinking at the same time. So that hour or half hour or 20 minutes, however many minutes, you put to it, and I would say at least 15, or else you might not really experience the benefit. You get to pull back all of that energy that gets scattered among all those other things that you're doing and thinking about doing. And in that time, you can recollect yourself. You can create the space, because imagine if you're driving a car at 100 miles an hour, it's going to be hard for you to ever make a turn if you want to go someplace different. So creating that space, stopping the world, whoever's calling you can wait. They can leave a message on your voicemail until you're ready to call them back. Give yourself that that space because it will influence your relationships and all of the other activities in your life. And a lot of times when you find difficulty bringing something new into your life, sometimes that's the reason, because all of your energy, all of your thoughts are always going to these things you normally think about. There's no space. There's no space in your mind and your energy for anything new to enter. And that's one of the other benefits that I got from doing that exercise. And in that space, that's when you're able to think of, oh, I could do such and such differently. You know?
Well, and it's a terrific process for those of us who are in practice and learning. I am a true advocate and very, very honest and very, very humble that I am a student in this life. And I am learning, and I love to learn. For a year and a half, perfect meditation practice, perfect this, perfect that, everything was balanced, everything was going really well. I decide that I'm going to buy a house 1,500 miles away. So I have to go back and forth, you know, and all of these things. And all of a sudden, my whole world became really quite chaotic because now I have a mortgage and I have rent and I have a daughter and I'm a single parent with zero, zero, zero support financially. And the other day, I've been going to the gym religiously 6 days a week for an hour and a half. Every morning,
and that.
Lord, you know, I quit smoking in June, and I'm doing better things with my life, and I'm really excited about it. But I'm on the treadmill, and I'm hitting it, and I'm hitting it hard. I'm going to get the 3.8 miles because I'm turning 380 at the end of the month. So, my goal is to run 3.8 miles, and all of a sudden, the phone rings, and I've got 27 emails that come in, 15 text messages, and my phone's just, like, hopping on the treadmill. And my best friend, who I rarely ever get to talk to anymore, she calls in, and I'm like, are you serious? Lord, I get an hour and a half a day to me, really? But everybody wanted me all at once at that time. And it was very discouraging, I think, because I definitely brought that energy into it, you know. By bringing that energy into it, even being well-practiced in meditation and really making leaps and bounds with balance, this current phenomenon of chaos, I allowed to take over my emotionality, which did exactly what you said it was going to do, because like attracts like. So if I'm feeling chaotic, guess what I'm bringing to the table?
That's right.
Just a real life story to emphasize what Dr. Martinez is saying. This is where you need to plug yourself shamelessly, lovingly, amazingly. Send out your vibe.
Well, I would like to share a few things. One of them is I do have some meditations on my website at drantoniam.com. And so if you are feeling that you need help in that area, I would suggest getting the wake-up meditation. And the wake-up meditation is about waking up to your true self, waking up to your dormant power, and creating the space to cultivate that self. And if you're more into like shamanic drumming, I also have a shamanic drumming and power retrieval download that you can get. That's really very powerful for healing and connecting with your guidance. Now, if you're a person that, let's say you have a group of friends or with your family that you like working with, and I so advocate this, especially if you're feeling like you don't have a support system. If you can create a circle of people, even if you're connecting over the phone or connecting over the line, over the internet, I have a workbook called the Inner Power Workbook. And I have seen people change amazing things in their lives that they have been unable to change in decades, even with the help of therapy, by helping each other. You exponentially increase your ability to transform yourself and others if you work together. And the workbook has different sections for different things you might be working on. It could be relationships, confidence, your meditative presence, manifesting. You can pick the thing that's relevant to you. But working with others is so important, and especially I think in this age that we're in, wherever you can work with people in business, in your community, do it. Find a way to do it if you're not doing it already. Extend yourself more than you're normally comfortable with if that's what it takes. It makes such a powerful difference in creating momentum in your life that you have trouble creating on your own. So those are the things I would shamelessly promote. And my Inner Power Workbook has a technique in it called the Inner Power Mapping Technique. And the whole reason I wrote the book to begin with is, even though I like counseling and coaching, to me it doesn't make any sense if you're not also becoming more empowered. I want you to need me less. I want you to be able to do these things for yourself. And so I managed to figure out a way to teach people how to achieve with themselves and with others the kinds of results they get with me. And I think you would benefit greatly from that book. And I really want to stress, if you can do it with your family, that's a whole other story. Do we still have time to talk about other things? I would love to talk about family karma and working together.
We have another half an hour, but what I'd love for you to do is give us your website, your contact information. How do we find you? I'm here plugging you on my Twitter of 9,000 bazillion people and Facebook page of 9,000 bazillion people, but I don't know who completely listens to this show. So how do we find you?
Well, my Twitter and my Facebook is Dr. Antonia M. It's DrAntoniaM. And my website is also DrAntoniaM.com. Or you can also go to healingspirit.com, which is what my website used to be called. I started that in 1997, actually. I started doing my website. And I talk about these things that we're talking about today. And I had a really fantastic experience several years ago. I was fortunate enough to know my great-grandmother. And she lived a long time. And she lived, like, into her 90s. So if you remember that teacher I was telling you about, Celeste Harper was her name, who was the great astrologer on top of, all the other incredible spiritual abilities she had. I had taken the class, and just as a side note, if anybody is interested in astrology, I have to tell you the reason I even got interested in it, when we would do our spiritual group every week. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about astrology, but some of the students were interested. So before class would actually start, they would always be having these conversations about astrology. So somebody asked Celeste how many clients she had, and she said 3,000. And we were all like, wow, you have 3,000 clients, and oh my goodness. But then she dropped the bomb on us when she told us that the majority of her clients were mental health professionals getting charts done on their clients. Well, now she had my attention.
My
attention. I'm like, wait a minute, what? There must be more to this astrology than I think there is.
Yes.
So she would go, she started telling us that you can see so much in a chart that the reason why these professionals would get them was because it would save them so much time. They can learn in an hour what would take them years to discover in session.
Right.
So anyway, that's what got me interested in studying astrology more. Anyway, I have four generations of women alive. There's me, my mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother. Oh, man, I got to do a chart. So I started doing our astrology chart, and that, of course, led to conversations, you know, where were you born and what was it like growing up? We got into just conversations about, you know, what your life was like, which we hadn't had really before. And that led to me doing genealogy for the family, and I had this visitation. There's this old woman spirit that comes to me every now and then, and she said to me that a family is not just, you know, people in a family that are related to each other. She said, think of the family as having a consciousness, and the consciousness manifests itself and evolves itself through the individuals in the family. And that just gave me a whole different perspective about family and why it's so important to deepen the connection that you have with your family. So I started reaching out to more family members and going to family reunions and really trying to establish a bond, a conscious type of collective in the family. So I even have an online workshop called Developing Your Family Mission Statement and Spiritual Growth Plan, because I like the idea and the experience of the family coming together to focus on a mission, both collectively and individually, helping each other to achieve what your missions are, what your goals are, and to really feel like you're a part of something much bigger than yourself in a deeply spiritual way. And I remember one of the shamans I work with in Peru, I brought him to New York a couple years ago, and we did a retreat, and we were all staying in this cabin. So we were all cleaning up together and cooking together. And I'm like, wow, you know, I never really experienced that myself. Matter of fact, I hated cooking, and I hate cleaning up. But had I grown up with that experience of this is a collective experience rather than this is your chore, you go do it, but let's collectively work together on cleaning the house, on preparing the meal and things like that, it would have brought a whole different type of energy. But when you work together, again, you just exponentially increase your ability to do anything. So I really, really advocate that.
Now I'm going to have to pause this because I we're running out of time. We actually have about 14, probably about 12 minutes left with you. I want everyone to call in if you get a chance. It's Sunday night. I know the dishes are being done and kids are being bathed and curled into bed and homework and all those wonderful parenting things that we do. And for non-parents, you guys are chilling and chillaxing and kind of just hanging out with us tonight. So that's cool. But if you want to call in and you have any questions for Dr. Martinez, she's live. She's here. This is amazing, rare opportunity. Call 347-205-9443. And just to remind you, looking for sponsorship. So this is the place, actually it would be about 10 minutes ago, but that's all right, that I'm going to throw in a sponsor. And it's kind of what it might maybe kind of sort of sound like.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty McDonald. Inspiration on tap. A radio talk show that is down to earth, organic, and reflects years of experience and humility. Tune in and join Rusty McDonald as she explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. Visit her website for more information, www.rustymcdonald.com.
All right, so we're back. The power of technology. It's so amazing. I am blessed to be sitting here with Dr. Martinez, PhD. She is the inner power doctor. She inspires people to live and thrive in a very different way than what other people do. She does interactive conversations and insights and opens people up to paths of personal evolution and revolution, as I like to call it. So she likes to achieve breakthroughs, and it's just, she's described as a groundbreaking person, and I highly recommend for you to go out and visit her website. What I'd love to spend about 5 minutes on, because again, we're running out of time. It's amazing how fast an hour goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this really cool game. I've been dying to know this game that you've invented called Healing Man, Healing Woman. It challenges players to dig deep, make soul-to-soul connections, and turn talk into life-changing action.
Yes, Healing Man, Healing Woman. I created that game. When I first did it, it was because of something that I experienced when I was doing martial arts. And I noticed that a lot of women seemed to be very uncomfortable when you brought up the topic of self-defense in any way, whether it was verbal self-defense, physical self-defense. And it got me thinking about both men and women. There's so many conversations that we don't have between each other, with ourselves, in the bedroom, in the boardroom. So the card game really allows people to have fearless conversations about things they normally don't talk about. You know, sometimes it's because it's taboo. Sometimes it's because you just never thought to talk about those things. But it makes it fun to have the conversation. So the conversations are very mindful. They're very provocative. And the objective is that after you have this conversation, you realize something about yourself. You discover something new about yourself that you now want to cultivate in your life. And you and the people that you play with ideally help each other to bring out that new man, that new woman within you. So that's the object of the game.
What was your inspiration to design a game such as this one?
Well, actually, it just kind of came to me. I guess spirit just inspired it, because originally I was thinking about, you know, should it be a class? Is it some type of a program? And spirit said, first step is a game. And I think maybe that's part of kind of changing the energy around, you know, when people say, you know, can we talk, you know, and there's all this, you know, you think all these negative things. And I think part of it is getting people to enjoy having that deep connection, not being afraid and not feeling, oh, I shouldn't say this and I shouldn't say that. It's be open and enjoy being open, because there's so much there to discover and be excited about being able to discover those things about yourself and about other people. Yeah.
Very cool. So when you decided to get your PhD, what was the driving factor behind obtaining your doctorate?
Really, it was more because I was already doing spiritual work and doing the healing, and when I realized that I could get a doctorate in it, I realized the other benefits that came with that. And I'm also a lifelong student. You know, I enjoy studying, like you said you do. Matter of fact, I'm back in school now.
Are you really?
Yeah,
I think
I'm studying.
Gonna be in school forever.
Yeah, I'm studying. forensic psychology. So,
oh my God, that's exactly.
Oh, that's
you and
what
I
you
have
to
talk privately.
Yeah. Really?
Well, it's so funny. Yeah, I got into. This is such a sidebar, not appropriate for the few minutes we have left. But I am really into behavioral and cognitive science, and I love. I can't lie worth of beans. I turn beet red, and I'm this little curly, red-headed Irish girl, and my cheeks will turn redder than my hair. And there's this TV show called Lie to Me, and I just
love
absolutely
it.
So
love
there you go.
It.
So I visited my favorite bookstore, and I sat there for hours and spent a large quantity to get all of the books on cognitive and behavioral psychology, because now it's an obsession for me. So anyway, it's perfect, perfect, perfect. So we'll have to talk offline.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And awesome. I'm doing cognitive. The class I'm taking right now is cognitive psychology, and
amazing.
It's incredible. So because my goal was to combine that with the metaphysical stuff, especially since a lot of times I get asked to do work with people who are coming out of prison, people mm-hmm. Who are in domestic violence situations. Matter of fact, we played the game at the at a domestic violence center, and so I thought it would be a good idea to, since I was interested in that anyway, to really get deep into that, combine that with the metaphysics, and really be able to offer something very powerful to people, you know, on the cognitive side and on the spiritual side.
I love how science and spirituality and religion are really starting to embrace each other for the betterment of people. And I think the old stigmas and stereotypes of the segregation and separation of the two subjects are starting to fall to the wayside. I think, especially if you're in your late 20s and 30-somethings, there's this huge movement in our age range in regards to how complementary the science and the fringe are. They're very complementary to each other, and I don't feel that you can have one without the other, but you know, that's a personal belief. So in the last 7 minutes, because I only need 1 minute to close. 7 minutes, it goes by fast, doesn't it? Give us the one thing that you really want people to take away, and don't forget to shamelessly plug yourself.
I think the one thing I would want people to take away is I think it's important these, especially during this time, to really kind of, whatever it is your goal happens to be, whether it's for this year or next 2 years, to really have a sense of mission about whatever it is that you're doing. And I don't want people to get wrapped up into thinking that mission means, oh, I have to go out and save the world. Your mission can be, I just want to have more fun in my life. That's a fine mission,
right,
too. But I think it's important to really embrace that and not take it so seriously, not take yourself so seriously or take things too personally. But going hand in hand with that, especially since we're still at the beginning of the year and people may still be, you know, having their mind on their resolutions and whatnot, it's important, I think, to recognize that there is usually some spiritual growth that needs to accompany your achievement of a mission or a goal. And I have a online workshop, Developing Your Life Mission Statement and Spiritual Growth Plan. And even if it's not your life mission, you just want to work on, let's say, a mission for this year, I just think mm-hmm. it's important to have that frame of mind, that kind of intensity and focus. We always think we have so much time to get things done. You don't know how much time you have to get anything done, but why waste whatever time that you have? You know, it's like, you know, squeezing orange juice and you don't drink it till next year or the year after. Exactly.
That'd be funky.
Exactly. So whatever yes. your dream is, whatever you're excited about, whatever you're curious about, just be on a mission to really pursue that to the fullest, and not put yourself and your dreams on the back burner. That's what I would like to say.
Shamelessly plug yourself, my friend.
You can get the online course on my website at drantoniam.com. And again, also the Inner Power Workbook, which actually there's a section in the workbook, and this is probably one of my favorites. There's a section called Your Personal Renaissance. And, you know, a lot of times we think of things we want to do, changes we want to make, and I think it's important to have a certain excitement about these kinds of things. So approach it like a renaissance. I had started doing that, and I started taking voice lessons, and I'm taking ice skating lessons, and just these things I want to enjoy doing just to be doing, you know. That I think that's a big part of life that we leave out. So I would even suggest that you get the workbook and work on that section if you feel you need more of that, more me time, things that make you feel more authentically yourself, because that's what the Inner Power Workbook is about you tapping that power that you have authentically, and to do it in a very organic way that you don't feel like you're working on yourself, so to speak, but that you're really exploring yourself. And I would also suggest that you sign up to my mailing list. I send out every week tips, metaphysical secrets, alchemical formulas. How can you push your boundaries? How can you take things to the next level, the next step? How can you have better relationships? How can you have better everything in your life? So go to the website at Dr. Antonia M, sign up to the mailing list, and get the newsletter every week, and pick one thing. Like right now, what's on the website is about how to turn spiritual lead into gold, and your spiritual lead are the things that keep you away from fully being who and what you are, and what are the ways to transform that into spiritual gold, which is like your real power. So I send out tips like that, and you don't want to miss those things, because they're really good. So that's what I would say.
That's what I would say. And do you offer anything live?
I'm sorry?
Do you offer anything live, or is that all on your website?
I don't have anything live right now. I will be teaching a meditation and mindful living course at City College of New York later on this year. I don't have a date yet. And I do workshops time to time, but I don't have anything scheduled at this moment.
All right, very cool. So definitely go and visit Dr. Martinez. You are a blessing, and I'm so glad that we were able to get a sneak peek of who you are and how you came into this world and what you've done with yourself. It's amazing to listen to people's journeys and how they inspire and create and motivate and challenge other people to better themselves. So I am grateful for your walk in this light. And
thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed being on the show. I enjoyed our conversation. I can't wait to talk about forensic psychology afterwards.
I know we're gonna have to make an appointment, because you and I we're gonna nail this. Yes, I'm so excited. I have somebody to talk to. have a blessed evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Dylan. All right. So how cool is that? Another journey, another path, another spiritual moment with a really cool person who's able to just be humble and down to earth and do some really neat things to kind of get us to think. So, you know, there's metaphysical in there, and some of you aren't into that, but there's definitely relationships and psychology and spirituality and just being a cool woman and, wow, a child of a single parent who is very much an A type, and how she survived that too and turned out to be all right and helping other people. Love these stories. Keep them coming in. I have to remind you to go out and listen to Health Cafe Live with Dr. Joanne White. I'm going to be her guest this Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to talk about life and, you know, the trials and tribulations that I've gone through and why I do what I do and why this show is so important to me. So tune in, and if you're not on my Facebook or you're not on my newsletter, you certainly can't keep up with me, because I can barely keep up with me without Karen. So sign up at Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E, MacDonald.com. And let's say, you know, you can listen to the myriad of interviews. I think I have 25 in the next 3 months coming up. And it's terribly important for you to stay in contact. And this way you know. Because I will be reaching your town, hopefully, by the end of the year to give you a big old fat hug and talk to you face-to-face. That's the goal. Again, sponsorships. Don't forget to sponsor. And my birthday's coming up. Yes, 380 years of age. I'm going to be an oak tree. I'm cool with that, even though willows are kind of cuter, but don't tell the oaks that. So instead of sending me a birthday card or a postcard or even an email, spend that money, that time, and donate to the Celiac Sprue Association. $1, $5, $10, $5 bazillion, because our efforts, what we're trying to do, is teach, research, and reach on an international level education and awareness and research on celiac disease in countries that are adversely affected and don't really understand what this means. So please, please, please donate to Celiac Sprue Association. And as of Wednesday, Humpity Hump Day, my first favorite day of the week, I have Diane Ruiz, author of Healing Your Life with Water. That's going to be really intriguing to understand. Her whole purpose and her whole mission is to talk about healing herself with water. So don't forget to tune in. As always, I love you. You are beautiful. You're amazing. I'm so glad we get to walk this path together and learn and meet some really incredible, inspirational people. I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Have a great couple of days.